Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the wisdom of Walt. You need a good read this summer, and this is your choice. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. And you can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by the great folks over at touringplans.com. And when you have a vacation headed to a Disney destination coming up, whether it's out on the West Coast to Disneyland or heading down to Walt Disney World, you want to stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on that vacation. And touringplans.com is the way to go to get that done. With your premium subscription to touringplans.com, you'll have access to the Optimizer, which lets you pick the attractions you're most interested in, uses the data from that day and that moment in the park to let you know the best way to see those attractions with the least amount of wait. That's just one of the many, many services you're going to get with your premium subscription to touringplans.com. Check them out. Support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1033 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Yes, I am still at Walt Disney World for a few more days, so give me a follow on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike if you're missing the world. I do the very best I can while I'm down here to send back pictures and sounds and even live video from time to time just to take you down there and keep you in touch with your favorite place. We're staying at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge right now, so a great place to visit, and I'll be doing a good job of taking you around the parks and around the great places at Animal Kingdom Lodge. But we never leave you without a show. We don't do that here on the Be Our Guest podcast, and today we have a special show that's going to be fun, it's going to make you hungry, and it's going to help you plan for that next Walt Disney World vacation with all the great changes happening down at Disney Springs. So coming back on the show, last time he was on was episode 999, the show before the big 1000. We have Chef Todd from over in Belleville or Southern Illinois. So how's it going, Todd?
Great, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
Good to have you back. And you just recently returned from a trip, and I love talking to you about the dining situation down at Walt Disney World because you are an expert in the field. You know what's going on. And I mean, if you are a foodie, this is like the golden age for Walt Disney World, isn't it?
Man, it really is. We took a 10-day trip, stayed at the Beach Club, which is gorgeous. And I didn't have enough time to fit in all the food I wanted. But there's many choices out there. And now is the time. You're correct.
So today we're going to kind of focus on Disney Springs with all the changes there, kind of talk about maybe having a cocktail at Jack Lindsay's and some appetizers, then moving on to some of the newer restaurants. But before we get into the food real quick, how was the stay at Beach Club? Because a lot of people are always asking, you know, the resort's your biggest part of your stay. So what were your overall feelings on Beach Club?
That's my favorite. We've been there three times in the last year and a half. It's my second home. I just love it. It smells so good in the lobby, and everybody's so friendly, so close to Epcot and the boats. It's unbelievable. I highly recommend it to anybody.
So now, do you guys focus on Epcot while you're staying there? Or do you hit all the parks equally? What's your touring usually like?
Typically we're Epcot and Hollywood Studios. We go for the festivals. We were there for Flower and Garden this last time, and we're going to go for our opening night of the Food and Wine coming up in September also. But we hit them all. Magic Kingdom's a little hard to get to for us, unless you're taking a bus. But we will typically monorail it over there or whatever needs to be done. But we spend a lot of time around the Epcot area.
Did you guys hit Beaches and Cream while you're there? I'm wondering because you go to these really nice dining establishments. Do you like Beaches and Cream?
I like everything. I've never been. It's so small and it's so hard to get in there. We've had ice cream from the window before, but I think I've stayed there 20 some odd nights in the last couple of years, and I've never had a meal there.
Oh, there you go. You got to always have something on that list to do the next trip. Yeah. So there it is. All right, so let's head over to downtown. Doc, you keep wanting to call it Downtown Disney. Let's switch that to Disney Springs.
I had to write it down so I wouldn't make a mistake.
I'm still old habits die hard sometimes. So,
no kidding.
Let's start off with Jock Lindsey's, because that's a place that I got to visit on the press event back in April. And was very impressed with the atmosphere, the detail they put into this place, kind of like Trader Sam's over at the Polynesian. So walk us through your experience over there.
Oh, it was great. It was the second time there. We went back in March, but we stopped in, I guess, Saturday or Sunday afternoon of Memorial Day weekend. And the Disney Springs was packed, and this bar always seems to have, you know, just the right amount of people. And we've always been able to find a seat at the bar or a seat at a table, and it's really nice. I met a bunch of people from the Touring Plans chat room, the liners.
Yep, good people.
We had about 20 of them in the house, so we caused a little disturbance, but I think we behaved ourselves enough to be invited back.
Now, see, here's the thing. I've only been there right as it opened. You know, we were at Disney Springs. We had to do something for the press event at La Nuba, then we walked over to Jock Lindsey's because Disney was kind enough to give us a couple of drink vouchers, and we weren't going to let those go to waste.
Sure.
So we went over there, and it was very easy to get into, obviously, at opening and during the week at about 11 o'clock. But is this a place that you said you got in? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was busy. You were there on a holiday weekend. Did you notice that? It's so small. Is it ever really tough to get in there? Do you know?
Well, I've only been there maybe three times, and we've always been able to find something. It rotates. It's a lounge, so nobody's having a meal necessarily. So I think the seats rotate pretty quickly, and I think at this point, a lot of people are there just to check it out, so they'll have a drink or two, or you know, and kind of move on. So I think it seems like there's always something available. The times we were there, there is good food, though. I tell you, their chicken wings, I kind of stumbled on those the last time we were there and had them again, and man, are they good. They were really, like, they're kind of a baked chicken wing with a real sweet, sticky sauce. They're kind of addicting.
Yeah, when we were there, we split, we had the some kind of a flatbread. It was really,
shrimp?
Really good. Yes, it was
awesome.
Excellent. I like that. I'm not a dates person. We tried the dates. Pam liked the dates. I'm not a date person, so I didn't really like them. Come to find out later in the movie, I've only seen the movie once, that those are poison, so fortunately I didn't have them. But, you know, I what I really like, though, I mean, I can't remember what the drink was, some elixir, but it was just nice to sit in there. It was comfortable. They had great music. And just here's a little hint. If you want to kind of bring the music of Jock Lindsey's or really any of these new venues down at Walt Disney World Home, all we did, we hit the button on our iPhones and we asked Siri, what song is this? And Siri came back with the right song and what album it was on and everything for every track while we were in there. So if you want to build your own playlist,
wow,
there's a little hint. We were doing that because we liked the music so much. It just fit. I mean, this place, you mentioned like the size. I would say that it's very comfortable. You know, it's just the right size, I would think, to kind of kick off an evening at Disney Springs.
Agreed. And the inside is a good size. There's also the outside, you know, the deck out there, and there's a boat that you can eat, you know, kind of sit in where they have some seating out there. But the inside is just the right size. You're right. It's a little bit bigger than, I think you can take the total square footage. It's probably quite a bit bigger than Trader Sam's. Trader Sam's is hard to get into sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a good place to kind of kick off your evening or, you know, just kick back and just have a drink and an appetizer. And, you know, Lord knows there's lots of places to go around Disney Springs. So where do you want to go next? Let's talk about some of the other new venues.
Well, we checked out Morimoto for the first time. I know you were there for your press event, and I saw the videos that you posted, and it didn't do justice because, boy, is that place beautiful. Really, really nicely done, isn't it?
Yeah, it's stunning how it's decorated. You know, it's two levels and very kind of what I noticed. I sat with some of the other bloggers and folks that I've known online. You only get to see every once in a while. So we sat upstairs at a big table. But I would think, you know, it's great. It's got the atmosphere kind of for everything that you might need, almost like a business meeting. There's great spaces for a lunch there or something like that. But there's lots of tables down on the first level, on the lower level, that seem really intimate. And even though the restaurant's kind of busy and the main floor of it has a lot of booths, it just seems like, you know, when you're in one of those booths, you would kind of be cut off from everybody else.
Sure.
It seemed really, and I love the huge chandeliers. That was a great touch.
Awesome. I like what you said about the main floor. It's you're sitting kind of on top of each other, but it still seems, there's something about it. It's loud, but in a good way. It's just a busy, nice, just a upscale, sleek, just well done. The food was fabulous. Probably our best meal of the trip. We tried a bunch of appetizers. The tuna tartare was awesome. There's a little fried rock shrimp tempura that all of us loved. My daughter was a huge fan of that. But the best thing ever is the spare ribs. I don't know if you had those while you were there.
I think I did. Now, the problem was we weren't ordering off the menu. They kind of put everything out. They even had a sushi station. I mean, we just walked through there and had, you know, had our pick of things, which was awesome. Don't get me wrong, but I had no idea what I was eating. I had like eight different kinds of sushi, and I'm from St. Louis. I have no idea. They all tasted similar. I don't know what was what, but it was all good. I can tell you that I didn't find one thing in this restaurant that I did not like. And the thing was, you know, I have a Midwestern palate. I'm not an exotic foodie or anything like that at all. But I found everything just, it was seasoned right. It wasn't too spicy, and it had a lot of flavor. Everything in there really popped as far as the flavor, I thought.
No, I agree. We didn't like, there's nothing we didn't like, and we tried a lot. The spare ribs, they sell them by the piece. You can buy them 3, 6, or 9, and they're not real cheap, but they're decent value. But they're worth definitely getting as an appetizer to share. And dessert, we got the churros for dessert. I don't know if you've ever had churros down there, but these were really nicely done. They nice and crispy and fresh, and then a little vanilla dipping sauce. And then they had a, you know, like when you were a kid, you had the acrylic paint set with the little tubes of paint.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They had one is customized. It said Morimoto on the side, and when you open it up, it was filled with Nutella, the hazelnut spread.
Nice.
It's kind of cute. It was really nicely done, and it was delicious. Our best dessert of the trip. It was a nice restaurant. Very happy with it.
And they have a really nice bar kind of up in the second level to the right as you're entering. We noticed that. You know, of course, I wasn't drinking when I was there. I just had a Diet Pepsi, but it seemed like that's a good place to kind of hang out if you'd like. And also, you know, could you speak to us about, they have a, you know, big glass wall as you go into the left. It's like, it's, I guess it's the kitchen. You know, you can look right into the kitchen. So how's that?
Well, ironically, we sat right there. And for somebody other than me, that might be a bad table because you're right by the kitchen. But I enjoyed watching it. A bustling kitchen. Obviously, they're serving hundreds of people every night. But it was kind of fun to sit there and watch that, watch the tickets pop up out of the machine and hit the floor, and brought back some good and bad memories.
I bet, yeah. I really don't want to go on vacation and see people teaching multiplication lessons. That's what I do all
exactly.
day.
Exactly. Like you want to sit by the chalkboard, right?
Exactly. I mean, like, no thank you. Yeah. So overall, like, impressions of this place, for somebody that's going there and, you know, maybe somebody that's in our case that's not a big foodie, they're from the Midwest, they're not from New York City or San Francisco or somewhere that's noted for their, you know, real fine dining. What would you suggest somebody think about going to Morimoto's on their next trip?
Well, this guy, Morimoto, is worldwide famous. So, I mean, his stuff is loved all over the place. Unless you don't like Asian food at all, you would have to check it out. Everything on there was good. And like you said, it just top to bottom, everything tasted just like it was supposed to. And that comes from doing it for a long time. And he's good at it. And he's got them all over the world. So.
Yeah, good.
I trust him.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I'll be I've probably had it by now, hopefully, because I loved it.
I hope.
And now they have that express window on the outside, which makes it even more easily accessible for folks that maybe aren't thinking ahead.
I saw that. I'd love to try it sometime, too. They're a pretty nice menu for out there. I almost hit it again the next day because the menu outside looks really great. We were at we had reservations for STK, the new steakhouse, the next night, and so I didn't get to try it. But the STK was okay. I was hoping for more, but it was their first couple of nights, so maybe I'll give them a little pass, but it was just okay.
All right, well, let's get into that right now, because a lot of folks, you know, are curious about this. It's got a lot of buzz, and it seemed like it was coming forever. Like, it, you know, we kept hearing about it, and then nothing, and then boom, all of a sudden, it felt like it opened, you know, like real quick. So
sure.
You were there, you know, right as it opened. They're kind of finding their stride, I'm sure, still to this day, but you know, what's the, very few people have been inside of this place. So give us the overall feeling of the STK.
It was just fine. It's on two levels also. The main floor, dining room and bar. You go up a double flight of stairs to the second floor. There's another nice bar up there and a smaller dining room, probably 20 tables. And then outside behind the bar, there's a beautiful deck. And that's where we sat for part of the night. It rained on us, so we got moved inside. But that's a really nice venue outside. Not too covered. There could be sun issues, but it's got a great view.
Nice. Now, talk to us about, you know, obviously it's a steakhouse. And the one thing I always heard about, even we're going to talk about the Boathouse here in a minute. But when the Boathouse came, you know, first online, and we started even before it opened, you saw the menus and people were like, oh, my gosh, the prices. So that's really kind of the headline that I've been seeing online with STK. So what do you think about, you know, I think a lot of times we talk about Disney overall and we talk about price versus value. You know, if you go down there and you feel like you had a good time, even though you might have paid a premium for that vacation, you got a good value out of it. So talk to us about that at STK.
Yeah, value is definitely the key. I mean, if you spend $20 on an entree and love it, that's great. If you spend $50 on an entree and hate it, that's, you know, not a good value. So we had, my wife had the tuna, which was fine. It was cooked well. The sauce was just kind of weird. We didn't really like it. Could have been an off night again. We'll probably give them another shot. But I was really excited for the steak, and I was not totally happy with it. I got a bone-in ribeye, 20-ounce bone-in ribeye, and it was $51. So, you know, that, they're not giving that away. No sides, you know, a la carte, which is typical for a steakhouse. But I expected to be very happy with that, and wasn't quite. It came with a comes with one sauce. They had a house sauce that I tried, and it was okay. Again, no sides, which is kind of typical, but not real happy, not unhappy, but you know, it wasn't any better than a steakhouse around here. So
yes, yeah, that kind of shocks me, because I don't know, you know, again, you say that it's typical not to get any sides, but for me, the only way, and of course, you know, my fine dining is like Texas Roadhouse or, you know, Outback. I mean, that's where I am, you know, so like,
no, that's okay. I love that too. I'm not a food snob by any means. I love everything. We're just talking about Taco Bell, you know, that's right. So I love it too.
No problem. Spicy tostada, nothing wrong with that. But, yeah, we, you know, that shocks me though, that for that price you don't get like a baked potato or, you know, or some kind of you know, vegetable medley or, you know,
not even
salad.
A garnish. It was a steak on a plate. I ordered a truffle butter sauce. It was $10 more, so you know, it's vacation, whatever, but I'd still like to be happy with when I'm gonna spend a couple $100 on dinner. I'd like to be a little happier than when I left, and I hope they do well. They had a great staff. The service was fine. Everybody's very friendly. Ton of managers running around, so they're still finding their way. So I don't want to tell anybody not to try it, but I was not as happy as I could have been.
Yeah, I think one of those things, when you have prices, you know, that are up in that, you know, extremely premium, you know, stratosphere, that, you know, the expectations sometimes, you know, you're setting yourself up. If you don't really blow people's socks off, you're going to be in a bad place.
And it won't take long. I mean, people like to complain more than they like to rave about places. I'm not one of those guys. But, you know, if I don't like something, I'll be honest about it. But it doesn't take many people to have a $50, $60 steak and just not be wild with it. It hits the internet pretty quickly. You know that.
No, you got that right. All right,
you're only as good as your last show, right?
Yeah, got that. Yo, man, let's pray this one was received. No, this is a good one. Everybody will just be hungry at the end of the show here in about 20 minutes. So anyhow, let's talk about the Boathouse. Sure. I still haven't been there. Many people have made their way to this venue by now. A lot of folks that are curious. I've seen the Ampicars or Amphibicars, whatever those are. I want to do. Mallory keeps asking. I don't know if I want to fork out $100. I probably have by now, but who knows? But let's talk about the overall feeling and the experience at the Boathouse.
We went to the Boathouse in March, actually. Just Jada and I, my daughter. The bar is a huge bar out front with a raw bar there. We didn't sit there, but we got a nice table. Seafood's awesome, obviously. We had a dozen oysters, which were spectacular. They have probably the second best truffle fries on property there. Really good. I had a whole fried fish, nice and fresh, flaky. I really liked the Boathouse quite a bit, and it was fairly expensive too, but I really thought it was a good value for what we got and what we paid. I was real happy with that one for sure.
So now what's the, because I still haven't been in this place, and I should have gone there back in April. Hopefully we've been in there by now on this trip, but you know, I know it has really nice outdoor seating. I've seen lots of pictures. The Griffiths go there quite often. But what's it? Is it, obviously it's larger than Jock Lindsay's, but I mean, kind of compare it to the size of maybe another Disney restaurant.
Well, the bar is huge. The bar itself is probably twice as big as Jock Lindsay's. It's just massive, and it's attached to the, and it's kind of an open air bar. I guess, you know, they open it up when, you know, obviously when the restaurants open up, but you kind of walk straight into that, and then you kind of go through the bar to get to the rest of the dining room. The dining room's big and pretty wide open, more of like a one-room dining room, and it can get a little loud in there, as with most restaurants. If they're busy, they're going to be loud. That's just the way it goes sometimes. But the bar, I'd like to take it. I haven't taken advantage of the bar yet. I'd like to do that, sit there and have a drink and maybe some oysters. And it was bustling. There was definitely a crowd there at the bar. Pretty jumping joint.
Now, the one thing I'm hearing, too, about the Boathouse is that big dessert, like the big super tall cake or something, the Florida.
Oh, I didn't have something. That.
Did you see anybody have it? I mean,
oh,
I said it's like
I 40
bucks. Yeah, it's like 40 bucks, and you can split it between like 8 people.
How much is it?
I think it's around 40 bucks.
Oh, wow.
Dessert. Yeah, but it's you know, something you can share with the table. But,
sure. I mean, you figure 8 or 10 bucks a dessert. That's not bad if you're going to split it a handful of ways. That's not bad.
Yeah, sounds good. So we've talked about these restaurants at Disney Springs. So obviously, you know, you're going down there. Now it's really kind of a destination, not only for foodies, but for people that want to do some shopping. And just, you know, I know a lot of people that use Disney Springs or Downtown Disney back in the day for a day where you don't have tickets, or maybe arrival day, or you're flying out at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You don't want to go to a park. You want to take it easy. So what would you suggest to people on vacation? You were there for quite a while. You know, how should you use Disney Springs now to kind of compare it with going around and planning a day, but also, you know, having a meal there?
Sure. A couple things that I noticed. I hadn't been, well, we went for a little bit in March, and I hadn't been before that in a couple years. So everything was pretty new to me when I went in the spring. A couple things, transportation wise, there's now dedicated bus lines down the middle of Lake Buena Vista Boulevard. So the bus is probably the best way to go. If you're taking a cab like I did, there's two stands. There's one on the very far east side, kind of by Earl of Sandwich, and there's also a cab stand on the very far west side by La Nuba, I guess that would be. So taxis are not necessarily the best answer. You're not really in a good spot for being picked up or dropped off. Picked up was a nightmare a couple times, so just keep that in mind. What we did the last night to avoid all that, we ate our dinner, and then we went to Ghirardelli's and had a huge shake to go. If you've been there,
oh, love that place! Now, see, that's one of the constants from even back in the day with like Pleasure Island. It's always been there. Yeah,
that place is a zoo. I mean, it's an absolute zoo. There's 100 people running around with, and everybody screaming out a different number. It's just, it's fun to watch. But anyway, we got our shake and we jumped on the boat to the Sasagula River and took a little ride to Port Orleans French Quarter and picked up a cab there, so that was kind of fun. So that's an option if you want to avoid the hassle and you know, try to little more relaxing trip home.
You know what? That's a good tip too, because you know, sometimes when you're down there, especially, you know, we go in the heat of the summer, we're crazy like that. But you have a big meal, you go and you gotta have dessert. It's Disney. That's our family's rule. You know, it's like, hey, we only do it on vacation, but gotta have dessert. Hop on those boats and just maybe walk, you know, ride down the Sasagula River to, like you said, Old Key West, French Quarter, Riverside. Walk around and then ride a boat. You know, if you say you drove over to Disney Springs, you know, ride the boat back and,
sure,
you know, use that kind of the time for your food to settle, because it gets hot and you need to have a little downtime.
No, it was ideal. It's just nice, relax. It's always relaxing on the water. It seems cooler. You know, sun setting. It was just a really nice, you know, end to the evening. And I would highly recommend anytime you can get on a boat at Disney. I think it's fun.
So did it feel, you know, you were there one of the busier times, Memorial Day weekend, all this stuff's opening up. It was crazy. It was, because last time I was at Disney Springs, there were still a lot of walls, even in April, you know, right. It felt tight. I mean, what was the overall feel? Did it feel like it was really, really crowded and you felt it?
It opened up quite a bit. Like you said, the walls came down and it's a lot more airy. So a little bit, but you know, there's more people there too. You can get, it's not like a Magic Kingdom on a Saturday where you can't even move your stroller. But there's people there. It's definitely packed. You're not going to, you know, run from end to end in 5 minutes. That's for sure. It's going to take some planning. But a couple things I did notice, I didn't see a lot of magic bands down there. So that means that there's a fair amount of locals, which isn't a bad thing. But, you know, there's anybody can get into Disney Springs. So it's going to be busy for people that aren't even there for Disney. So keep that in mind. It's just a big mall there, so anybody's invited. So there's definitely a lot of traffic.
Yeah, I wonder too, did you see a lot of live entertainment with it being a holiday weekend? Because I even noticed when we were there in April that there just seemed to be a lot of performers out. And like I said, it was a weekday around lunchtime. And there were still quite a few people singing and, you mm-hmm. know, groups of like five or six singers together. It was, you know, it's become more of a place where there is entertainment than just stores.
Sure, there's not just shopping. Like, there's a nice little place, a little bandstand right next to the Amphicars, as a matter of fact, that's sitting under the trees there. There was a couple different times there was somebody performing some music there. And it keeps, you know, keeps people occupied other than just the shopping and eating. But there's a lot to do. I would recommend it. It's a great, like you said, for arrival or departure day, it's perfect because you really can't spend all day there. There's not that much to do, but you can certainly spend a good solid 4 or 5 hours if you're going to eat and shop. There's plenty to do for that. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's worrying me. My wife's getting excited. Well, you know, we're obviously recording this before we go down, but we're there now, and she's getting excited about all the restaurants. And you know, when I have my wife and Paige, who's in college, together, and they're excited about the shopping, I'm I'm gonna have to plan just maybe just one day at Disney Springs so we don't go broke. You know, we got to pay for the college semester coming up here soon. We can't spend it all there.
I tell you, I've got a little ways to go, but I'm already saving for that. I tell you, the stores that kill me are the Basin store. The one that there's one in the Grand Floridian, and then there's not one at Disney Springs. Also, the one that sells all the soaps and the bath bombs. I don't know what it is about that place. It smells so good. It always lures me in, and now I spend $100 there. So they always get me there.
Oh, so they have those bath bombs because that is my wife and girls.
Oh, man.
We have you're from St. Louis, but we have this shopping center here in St. Louis called West County Mall, and there's a store there that sells those bath bombs. And
really?
Yeah, and they're not cheap, and they have to get them all the time. I'm like, seriously, it's soap. I know it's like it fizzes and does all that fun stuff, but it's soap. It's bubbles. You know, come on now.
That's all it is. But it lures me in, and my girls like it too, so that's what happens. And also the Art of Disney Store. Man, is that a beautiful place. There's one right there on the east end by Earl of Sandwich. I don't know if you've been to that store, but just a bunch of really nice artwork and not really, really expensive, just a really great place to kind of hang out and check out some cool stuff.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of that, right next to that is the Disney Christmas store there over by Earl of Sandwich. And, we go down a lot of times in the summer, and there's something about that place. It's like a little taste of the past. You know, we go in there, we check out the ornaments, we hear the Christmas music. It's something to hear at the end of June. You know, I'm a Christmas guy, so we've always gone there.
It just feels cooler in there with the ornaments hanging up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So now we're going to get back together here in a few weeks and kind of talk about some of your other experiences, dining-wise. You know, we have Tiffin's, and we know Ricky talked about that a few weeks back. But we're going to get your take on that and some of the other dining venues. So as we get out of here today on a Monday, any other tips for Disney Springs people need to think about when they're planning their trips coming up here in the late summer and early fall?
Well, definitely consider the transportation, like I talked about. Bus is probably the best way to go because they don't fight the traffic. When we left Sunday night, which was Memorial Day Sunday, we sat in traffic for probably 40 minutes, and the beach club is a mile and a half away. So that's something to consider, even if you're driving. So Buena Vista is a nightmare on the weekends, so keep that in mind for sure. And allow time for dessert. Like you said, you're in Disney. You got to have dessert.
I'm sure I've had quite a few. I'm actually staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge for the fact that I can have Zebra Domes right out of the freezer at the Mara. So I'm sure
awesome. I'm actually kind of a Disney rookie. Our first trip was January of 2014, believe it or not. Of course, we've been back 10 times since, but I'm still catching up on a lot of stuff.
Hey, the pace you're going on, you're going to pass a lot of people really quickly.
The Zebra Domes are on the list for sure. We ate at the Mara in March, and I had the African stew, and this sounds like a little plain dish. Man, was it really good. So think about that next time you're there.
Hey, I'm there now, and I've got that. I'm putting that right
in there. Oh, you are there now. That's right.
You know what? I'm telling Siri as we record, African stew at the Mara. Don't miss it. So, yeah, I appreciate that. And, hey, Todd, thanks for dropping in, and we're gonna talk again, like I said, in a few weeks about some of these other great dining experiences. Because it really does. I mean, dining's an essential part of most people's Disney vacations. We just want to give people the knowledge and give them something to think about on their next trip. So thanks a lot, bud.
No, I'm glad to help. I enjoy talking to you guys.
All right. And don't forget today's show brought to you by the Wisdom of Walt. And it is summer and you need to chill out in the hammock, out on the deck, or maybe just sit around the house. You need a good read. And the Wisdom of Walt is a great book. If you're a Disney fan, it gives some advice on how to apply the vision of Walt Disney, how he went about his life to achieve his dreams. And you can turn that into achieving your dreams as well. You're going to learn a lot about the Disneyland park, about Walt's philosophies on getting things done. And the author, Jeff Barnes, really turns it around into ways you can apply that to your life to make it a lot better. It's a fun read. It's a great read. And I can trust me, I've read it twice already, and you need to do the same. It's available in audiobook. You can get it on ebook, and you can also get soft cover and hardcover, and you can even get an autographed copy over at thewisdomofwalt.com. So check it out. You need a good read this summer, The Wisdom of Walt. We're also brought to you by touringplans.com. You want to stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on that next Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're at magicalmouseradio.com. And again, we are down at Walt Disney World right now, bringing you the sights and the sounds of your favorite place on Instagram and Twitter. Give me a follow. I'm at Be Our Guest Mike, and we'll even be broadcasting live on Facebook. So join the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here, and we'll be back again on Wednesday with your listener questions. So if you have a question, get that in, Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get that on the show. So for Todd, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.